everyone. Welcome to This Is Your Book Club podcast.
We're back with an off-the-shelf, or what's on our shelf, episode. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Sarah. We're so excited to have you listening with us today.
Yes, thanks for coming back.
And before we get started on what's on our shelf, let's get a fun fact about our book of the month.
Fun fact, The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. So, I talked last time about how she had made it to the 5 under 35, and we talked about how her first book, The Mothers, was picked up by, I want to say Warner Brothers.
Okay.
As with Kerry Washington. So, this week, just yesterday, I saw an article that 17 different companies have been vying for The Vanishing Half.
Really? To make it a movie.
To make it into something. And HBO got the bid, and they're making it into a series, like a mini series.
Really?
And she got, they're saying, an insider is saying, that in the low seven digits.
Wow!
For The Vanishing Half. So, as of right now, her first two books are both being made into movies or series, and
that's amazing.
Is that crazy?
I mean, how old is she? She's young.
She's young.
20s, right?
I want to say, I don't know exactly. I can't say. All I know is she's under 35 in when her first book came out.
Wow.
Which was in, I think, 2016.
Okay.
And so,
Britt Bennett.
Yeah, that would be interesting to know how old. She is young. And
to her have first such great two success. Books,
the second one already.
She's 30.
Her second one was released. This book was released June 2nd. So it's brand new and already has been picked up by HBO for a series. And she's the executive producer on it. So she'll work
even
with them on
cooler.
That one.
Even cooler. That is so cool.
So cool. I was so excited when I saw that because we just talked last week about The Mothers. And now, this week, The Vanishing Half. So read it. Read it along with us for our book club. And then let's go to the movies together.
Ooh, even better. That's my favorite way to read a book.
I do too. However, okay, so this is a mini series, so maybe we will be able to go to the movies together.
Right.
But I've decided after, I don't know if we've talked about this, Little Fires Everywhere. Did you read that?
I did read that.
I loved that book, and I just finished last week, the series that they made out of it.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
And I like a book being made into a mini series instead of a movie.
Well, because you get so much more detail.
You do. Like, it doesn't cut out. Like, I always feel like, oh, they got that so wrong. And of course they have to. They have to make it into an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Mostly 2 hours. But the Little Fires Everywhere being, you know, I think an 8-part series. It stuck pretty well to the movie, to the book.
Reese Witherspoon.
Yes.
And who's else is in that with her? I can't remember.
I can't remember.
But yeah, I need it. So where did you watch it?
Is it Netflix?
Is it on Netflix?
Hulu? I think it's Hulu.
Might be Hulu.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
Excellent.
Because I liked Little Fires. I mean, there were some things about Little Fires Everywhere that I was like,
yeah.
And I'd love to watch the show.
So in the book, it doesn't say anything about the mom and daughter that come into town being African-American. They weren't African-American.
No, they don't ever
But in
say
the
that.
Series, they are African-American, and so there's a lot more about race in it.
And Kerry Washington's in that, too.
Oh, it's her. Yeah.
We love
that's
her.
That's right. Love her. She's hitting all the good ones.
Oh, and Joshua Jackson, Dawson's. He's in Dawson's Creek.
I don't remember.
He plays Pacey. Don't you watch Dawson's
wasn't
Creek?
Really into Dawson's
oh, you made me
Creek.
Want to cry. I love Dawson's. I grew up watching Dawson's. Sorry, just a little sidebar.
Maybe shows our age right there. I did not. Or maybe I just didn't
You
get
probably
into it.
Were much more sophisticated.
So
and
sophisticated
I was a
in my
WB likings. Junkie.
I was not, but I did watch One Tree Hill as an adult
I
after the
One
whole
Tree
thing
Hill
was
too.
Over just a couple of years ago.
Oh, after it was over?
Yeah.
Oh, I watched it in real time.
Not me. I did it as a 40-year-old woman.
That's okay, too. I own every episode of Dawson's Creek on DVD.
Oh, wow.
You want to watch
You're
it,
a major
you can
fan.
Come to me.
Okay.
Yeah, Steve and I.
Dawson's Creek
Steve loves
your
Dawson's
thing.
Creek, too, which is why we're married.
Okay.
This is a total sidebar, and I'm going to promote it until I'm blue. Watch Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek.
If you need to borrow it, it's yours. I love Dawson's. I wanted to name one of my children Pacey.
Okay.
It didn't happen, work out. But I wanted to name
still have
my
more.
Daughter Pacey, even though Pacey is a boy.
But that's a cute name for a girl, too.
It's so cute. Yeah. And I love Pacey.
Okay. I don't know who Pacey is.
I'm sorry for you. It's Joshua Jackson.
Okay.
Anyway, Little Fires Everywhere, which we're not even talking about that book today.
Yeah. No, but it's a great miniseries. And I just wanted to finish up saying
yes,
that they're black characters in the series, but not in the book. And they ask the author why, because the author worked along with them in the...
making of the
series, and she said she's a white author, and she said I didn't feel like I had the experience to write from a black perspective, and so I didn't, but I love that they did it, and they've done it very well in the show, and I think it's a great addition to my novel. So
wow,
anyway, just that's another cool. Little sidebar. So make it into a mini series, I'm there.
Me too.
It into a movie, I'm there.
Me too.
Field trip for This Is Your Book Club.
I think it's such like the sugar on top of finishing a book is to be able to watch the movie or the TV show or whatever, however they make it.
I agree. Love it.
Fun. Okay. I'm so excited.
Me too.
All right. So this week, what did you take off your shelf to read?
I think I went first last time.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you go first this time.
I'll go first. Okay. Which to talk about first? We talked a little bit about Ellen Hildebrand.
You love.
I love Ellen Hildebrand. She's written so many books. I don't even know how many. So very many. And I think I've read all of them.
Mm-hmm.
She came out with a new one that I've had on hold, right? Even before it was released. It got released like mid-June, like 2 weeks ago. And I've had it on hold for like 2 months.
Wow.
That's how much I love her. It just, she's an
author. You got
author.
It within the first 2 weeks because you've had it on hold forever.
Well, I was like 18th in line, but then they always order like 20 of her books because there's that big of a line.
Because they're that popular.
Yeah. So, so it's all, I always can see that I'm like, it says it's going to be 6 months out or whatever. And then when it actually becomes available, it ends up happening so much faster because they get more books than just one when it's a popular author like that. So anyway.
Oh, cool.
Ellen Hildebrand, it's called 28 Summers. And I love Ellen Hildebrand because her characters just feel so real. Like they could be your best friend. It could be your sister-in-law. It could be whatever. And
just your average, everyday, normal person.
Yes. And they just are so relatable. And they, like, I forget that I'm reading a fiction novel. Like, I feel like you are actually watching somebody's real life. And it's so easy to get enthralled into her books. Yeah. And I love that about her. I always know I'm going to get a good story, like when I pick up one of her books. So I was really excited, looking forward to it. This one wasn't my favorite of Ellen's.
Oh, bummer.
It's hard when
hard
you can
when
compare
you get
to
so excited.
Yes, that's probably what it is.
And then...
I mean, I gave it 3 stars. And the characters, all of this is the same. Like, I still felt so deeply invested in this story. I just didn't love the decisions they were making.
Was this... Did you say... Ellen Hildebrand I've read is Summer of 69. Is this a follow-up? Did you say there's a follow-up to that one?
I thought it was, and I kept going back trying to see if these characters were connected because she references so many people on the island.
Mm-hmm.
Every book takes place, except for she has one series that's in the Bahamas, but everything else takes place in Nantucket.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, and so she references the police chief and the school principal.
So they all kind of relate.
You hear about them in all of the books. And so I feel like, I thought this was relating to another book, but I couldn't find that reference afterwards. I'm not sure that it is.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, please tell me, which book have I heard these characters before? Because I felt like I'd heard Link mentioned before. Tell me if you know. But it's about this, this young girl who is young adult girl and how she ends up inheriting an old aunt's place in Nantucket and her life and how it unfolds there on Nantucket. And I loved her as a character. Like, I just wanted the world for her, and it just doesn't happen. You know, because of her life choices and, the way things pan out for her, I feel like she kind of gets the short end of the stick. And it's, the idea is that she has this one weekend affair with this guy every Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
And so during the rest of the year, they don't talk. They don't communicate in any way, but he was always there on Friday of Labor Day weekend, and he leaves every Monday. So it's just once a year. And then you hear what's happening in their lives, both of their lives in the meantime. Mm-hmm. And then they reconnect again each Labor Day. And so this goes on for 28 summers. So hence the title. So I definitely would say, like, go read. I would still recommend reading it if you love Ellen Hildebrand. It's so good. And you'd probably, I find it such an interesting thought, like the way that it happens and comes mm-hmm. about. It is very interesting, but I think there would be such a great conversation about, like, you know, when we make those kinds of choices, what are you actually sacrificing for these few days? Mm-hmm. 'Cause there is a lot of sacrifice that happens on both ends, right?
Yeah.
And there's people affected outside of their little bubble during that weekend. Yeah. And like, at the end of the day, that's why I was like, oh, I can only give it 3 stars, because I was so sad about the end of the day.
Yeah.
But their time together is unique and special and different. So it would be a great conversation.
Okay.
Go read it so we can talk about it.
Okay.
Your turn.
Oh, so many.
I gave it 3 stars.
So many things to read.
I know. It's so
fun. I'm never going to catch up. Okay. I read an actual book this last week.
Yay!
Actually, over the weekend. I had a weekend that was pretty open. I sat in a hammock. I sat on the couch. I read in bed. So this, maybe the rating had to do with the fact that I was actually reading a book too. But I just loved it. But we talked a couple weeks ago about JoJo Moyes being one of my favorite authors.
Love her.
And I've had this book on my shelf forever that I haven't read. And so I decided I can't say I love JoJo Moyes if I have this book on my shelf that I haven't read. So yeah. I'm going to read it. So I read Paris for One and Other Stories. Have you heard of that?
I don't think I've heard that one.
So it's,
I've read a lot of her books.
Yeah. It's, I think it came out after all of the,
Me Before You.
Me Before You, Still Me, After You. It came out after those three, I believe. Or maybe in between the second and the third one. I could be wrong there. Correct me. But it is Paris for One, which is half of the book. And then Other Stories. So there's like maybe 6 or 7. I should have counted short stories.
Oh.
So the first half of the book is one. I mean, I would even call that a short story, but it was a longer short story. But the other ones are just like 6 or 7 pages. Just super short. Just little easy reads. But delightful.
Huh.
I think that word makes me sound maybe old, but it was just delightful. Like, Paris for One was a great story, and that's the larger story of the book. And then there's just all these little ones that are just average women, married, not married, being lonely, trying to find what they want in life, or just different little scenarios that you get into really quick and are just really quick reads.
That's awesome.
And it was a really fun weekend read.
Okay.
To actually read a book, and just, it went really fast. Like I said, I think I started it on Friday night and finished it on Sunday, just reading here and there throughout the weekend. And it was, I gave it 4 stars.
That's awesome.
It was great. It was just lighthearted and easy. And I do too. So that would be my top pick of the week, I think.
Awesome. Well, and you got to read it.
And I got to read it.
I'm kind of jealous. Yeah. I did also finish. Did you finish your recap?
Right now? Yes. I'm like, my up. What?
I'm like, am I cutting you off and switching no, gears? So sorry.
I am finished. I turn the time over to you.
Okay. Let me just catch my breath. All of a sudden, I'm like, that was so rude.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Oh, funny.
I read a book.
Okay.
But not quickly. I started it a little while ago, but I can't seem to find the time to like sit and read. So I just have one that I pick at
here and there as you can.
Yeah. That's just kind of sits in the background. And it was a good book. Mm-hmm. It's called Unfit. It's by Karma Chestnut. A little plug. She happens to be my cousin.
Ooh, fun.
I know. My cousin wrote a book.
That's awesome.
I know. It was awesome. And I really liked it. It's like a young adult fiction. It's about this couple from, there's a society that the world has had this awful illness and knocked out a majority of the civilization, and so they kind of have to start all over and reform.
Familiar.
I know.
Okay.
But there's not like a lot of warning. Like, that's kind of happened.
It's happened in the aftermath.
Exactly.
What to do after.
And so they've created this new form of government and society, and they decide that they only want, like, the highest caliber of human to repopulate. So if you don't, you know, check all of these boxes,
then you don't get to have kids.
You don't get to have children.
And are the ones that have children, do they get to be their own children, or do they go into the society?
No.
Okay. They are your children.
Yes. Okay. You keep and grow. And then you have, if you are amazing, then you get to have lots of wives, and because you need to repopulate with your amazing genes, right? It's very interesting. And if you are a man and you are considered not fit, they castrate you. Is that the word?
Yeah,
totally do. Send you to this, you know, hospital where you have to stay until it's your turn to get. Yes, exactly.
Yikes.
So it's interesting. And what's happened, the fun part about this story is there's...
Oh, that wasn't the fun part?
No. That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Okay.
And is there's this young girl who is from a really wealthy, prominent family. And then she falls in love with a guy who doesn't have a family and his parents aren't around. And they fall in love and get married. Secretly, because her family would never allow it.
Right.
And after that, he goes through his examination and is declared unfit.
Oh.
So you watch this couple's journey as they try and figure out, like, how they can be together, how they can have a family, and what's most important.
Very interesting.
It's good.
It sounds really good.
So I think I even told Karma this. Like, I was kind of, I don't know if I should say that I know her, because I don't want it to be like, oh, she's only saying it's good because it's her cousin. But I think I'm a harsher critic because I kept I was listening for Karma. Like, I'm waiting, you know, I'm trying to feel like, oh, I don't know what I thought I'd hear. But it is so unique and organic. It's just this special little story. It's very different. It's an easy read.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I did not see the end coming. Usually those, you can kind of predict what's going to happen. All of a sudden it was over. I was disappointed. I'm guessing there's a second book. I haven't asked her that.
Mm.
I just finished it. But
so it sounds like Sarah's saying there needs to be a second book.
There should be. I'm guessing there'd have to be. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but there would have to be. I mean, it just kind of ends in a place
where you need
some resolution.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so I highly recommend it. It's called Unfit. I gave it 4 stars by Karma Chestnut.
Karma Chestnut. Awesome.
Yeah.
I also have a cousin named Karma.
Do you really?
How interesting is that?
I know.
When you said that, I was like, wait.
Because it's such a unique name.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, she's my actually cousin-in-law. She's married to my cousin.
Okay. Awesome.
But I love her. She's wonderful.
That's awesome that you know someone who wrote a book.
I know. And she's so great.
I will put that on my list.
Absolutely.
Cool. Okay, next one is, I'm going to go to my next 4-star because I had another 4-star. Not even though. It's a young adult. I would say probably, I would give it to my daughter to read.
Okay.
10 years old. You could do a 10, like it's a young, I don't even know, you don't even call that young adult, juvenile fiction.
Yeah.
I would put this in the juvenile fiction category. It is The Thing About Jellyfish by Allie Benjamin.
Okay.
Have you read it?
No.
Okay. It is so sweet and eye-opening, and I love reading books that put you in the mindset of your own children and what they might go through or be going through.
Yeah.
And so this is a story about this little girl she's just kind of odd, doesn't really fit in. She doesn't like small talk. She feels like if you don't really have anything to say, then don't say anything. So she doesn't talk a lot, but she has this best friend that she's had forever. And they just are two peas in a pod. They do everything together and have all these little inside jokes and inside things. And she just only needs this one friend. And this one friend, I think they're like in fifth or sixth grade, around in 1 year of school, they're watching all these other girls be so silly and dumb and, you know, kind of flirting with boys or acting silly in front of boys. And they both make this pact, like, if I ever act like that, you have to do something really big, even really big, to let me know that I'm acting like that, because they look so stupid. So they get into the next year, and this little girl's friend starts growing up and going through those changes that come with adolescence. And she starts hanging out with the boys and being silly and hanging out with the other more popular girls at lunch. And so she has nobody to, like, it slowly just spreads that she doesn't fit in with her best friend anymore.
Aww.
And that's really sad. And they go through almost the whole school year just growing apart and her being really confused of how she could just dump her. And I need to do something big to let her know she's acting stupid because we made that pact. And she does something really big, and it's really big and really weird. Really, like, I can't even, you won't even imagine what she does, but it is really weird. But then they haven't talked forever. They haven't talked after this really big episode.
It didn't work.
And school ended, and it's summer.
Oh.
And this best friend of hers goes on a trip with her family before she can even apologize about this big thing that she did to her. She's up and gone and on a trip with her family. And they took swimming lessons together when they were little and growing up. And this girl was a really, really strong swimmer, but something happened in the ocean on their trip and she drowned and died.
Oh my gosh.
And so this girl finds out that her best friend died, and her mom doesn't know that they're not really best friends anymore.
Yeah.
And that anything had happened. Nothing's come up about this thing she did at school. And so she is struggling with, I did this really, she was mad at me when she died. She didn't like me. She wasn't my best friend. All these other girls are at the funeral crying, and, you know, and she's like, I know her better than any of them. This was my best friend. And just going through all those emotions of adolescence. You've lost your best friend this last year as a friend, but also as a living human being on the earth. And she has to try to figure out why. And her mom's telling her, there, things just happen. There's not always a why. And she can't take that as an answer. So she has to do this report the next year in school when school starts. And she decides to do hers on jellyfish. And there's these certain type of jellyfish that can sting you and you can die. And she is sure it's about the jellyfish. And so it's just this journey of, she's trying to prove to everyone that this is what happened. And does that matter or not matter? Does it bring her back? Does it not bring her back? And how does it settle her heart?
Wow.
It's just lovely. And adolescence is hard. Yeah. I would never go through it again.
Right.
Ever.
It
and
hard.
It's just an awkward, crazy phase in life that we all have to get through. It makes us stronger on the other end, especially the harder it is. And it gets better, but it still sucks.
Yeah.
And it's hard. But we're all going through those crazy things together, I guess, is the point of it. But it's just, it's great.
Sounds
how
really
her mom and
really
her dad
sweet.
Come together and try to get her help, and because she stops talking, she decides she's not going to talk to anyone anymore and just stay silent. Anyway, it's
wow,
it's her journey through this year of dealing with all of that. And
that's a lot for, like, a little person.
Yeah,
like a young person.
Absolutely. And I think just adolescence in itself is hard, and then you add some of these other things that our adolescents are going through now, especially with our pandemic now. And
It's hard to help them when we don't
suicide
really know.
Suicide rates being so high in teens. I think they're seeing a lot more of this than I did as a teenager. And so it's good to read these books to understand a little bit of the mindset of where they're at.
Absolutely.
And what they're going through and how difficult it is to process life at that age. Anyway,
sounds
excellent
good.
Read. It's a good read.
Remind us the title.
4 stars. The Thing About Jellyfish by Allie Benjamin.
Awesome.
So.
Sounds so good.
Excellent.
Okay, where to go from there? I just finished, actually, The Tattooist of Auschwitz.
Yes. Have you read that one? It's been on my list for a while, and I have not read it yet.
It was one that we really wanted to do for, like, our book club, my just neighborhood book club, but it didn't end up being one, so I just added it to my read list. But
yeah,
it's a historical fiction, just to give a little background. It's Nazi Germany. It's about this guy who tattooed the numbers onto the arms of the Jewish people in the camps.
In the camps.
Okay. He himself is Jewish as well, so it was like his job.
He's been given the job as he's in the camp himself.
Yes.
To do these tattoos on everyone.
And so he has this unique position where he gets extra favors because he's a little bit higher up. His position is like just not a normal worker. And so he meets these people that come into the camp to work that are not Jewish and they're not camp members. They live in the community around. They come in and they get paid to do the same work that these camp members are doing.
Okay.
But he gets to know one of them, and they bring him food in exchange for jewels.
Oh.
That the prisoners are finding inside of clothing. That it's very interesting because you have to, when you get there, you have to strip, you have to take everything off, and they give you the clothing, the striped clothing, whatever. Right. Anyway, it's fascinating to see, like, how even within the Auschwitz camp, which we all know was a horrific camp. I mean, right. They were building the crematoriums that they were going to in the future be burned in. It was horrific.
Yeah.
And so there is this awful stuff happening, but there's also, which is the reason that I love historical fiction books, so much hope. And you can't, you know, really kill people's love. It's there anyway. And he falls in love with another camp member, and you know, she feels ugly and bald and, you know, and malnourished and all these things. But he sees her beauty and loves her and how he tries to take care of her, even though they have to be separated. And, and their connection throughout the whole story. And then, you know, just all the different characters within the camp. I mean, there's always so much I think I know so much about Nazi Germany, right? Like, I've read so many books, and then there's always a new story and it's something different, and you just feel for these people. The cool part about this book is it is based on a real story.
Wow.
It's very, I didn't know that till the end.
Tattooist was, this was a real.
He's a real man, and this is his account. I mean, it's been told in story form, obviously. Right. So he had an author come and he told his story and she turned it into a book.
That's amazing.
It's to have amazing. A
first-hand account.
Yeah. So, and then the foreword in the book or whatever, I don't know what you say when someone writes like an introduction to the book or whatever, was written by his son.
Oh.
So he talks about after the war, what his parents were like and what his father was like and how he grew up with him. It was cool.
That's awesome.
So I felt like that was kind of a special little twist on another story of that hard time. So it was
not many made it out. And so for him to have made it out and then to hear his story about it.
Yeah. And it's cool. Ugh. Like that's the really interesting part is his love for this woman and if it works out and how their lives end up turning out. It's a good little story. And it wasn't super long, which is sometimes they can get so, there's just so much information that you try to cram into these books that it feels really drawn out. This did not. It was a wonderful little story about this specific camp and the people there and what happened to them. Anyway, it was good. I gave it 4 stars, and it's by Heather Morris is the author, The Tattooist of Auschwitz.
Awesome. Auschwitz. I'm going to move that up on my to-read list a little higher.
Yeah.
My to-read list is so long.
I know. That's good. I'm always looking for something to read.
Me too. Okay. Awesome. Next one I read was called Less.
Less.
Is the title. Less by Andrew Sean Greer. And this has not been on my to-read list. I kind of just stumbled upon it. I don't even remember how. Maybe just looking at audiobooks that were available. Because I didn't have anything available at the time. I think that's what it was. And it was one of the first that popped up. And I was like, Okay, let's give it a try. It is about a man who, his last name is Les.
Oh.
So that's why it's Les. But he's just about to turn 50, and he's kind of mourning being old, to not have his youthfulness. Even though throughout the book people are like, oh, you look so much younger, you look so much younger, you look so good for your age. He's a gay man who is very proper in his dress and takes care of himself. And he has a 9-year, it's not an affair, but kind of an on-off love interest. And they're not necessarily exclusive, but they're always together. So for 9 years, it's not really called this is my boyfriend, but this is my person. And after 9 years, this guy comes to him and says, I'm seeing somebody else, and we've decided to be exclusive. And this man says, okay, so this will be tonight, you know, we're saying goodbye tonight. And then 6 months later, he gets a wedding invitation from, I think his name's Freddie, from Freddie, who with this other person he's getting married. And he's devastated. I should have said no. I should have fought for him. I should have said stay. I should have said this isn't our last night together.
Wow.
Because then he realizes that, you know, this was the person I really did want to be with. Like, 9 years is a long time.
That's a really long time.
Really long time.
And to just be like, okay, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
This is our last night.
Yeah, just like that. And then he's off. And then to get married to that other person within 6 months. That's really fast.
Yeah.
And so he does not want to go to the wedding. He does not want to see it happen. He doesn't want people to be looking at him like, sorry for me that he left me and I'm not the one getting married.
Absolutely.
And he's an author. He's written some books. But nothing recently. His newest book got rejected. And so he's kind of, you know, known but not as well known as he'd like to be.
Yeah.
He decides to go on a tour and just picks up all these jobs all over the world. And he's gone like a year, and he picks up, like, in Germany, he's teaching a course to students, and he gets to choose his own topic for the course. And then he goes to Japan and he's writing reviews on 4 different restaurants. And he just goes all over the place. He's one place he's just going to work on his newest book, and another place he's speaking with this famous poet, and the poet ends up having food poisoning and can't do anything, so he takes over, and this poet doesn't even know who he is, and he's like, he just really is not anybody, but takes any little offer out there to just be gone and away from everything that's going back on at home. And so along the way, he just learns all these little lessons and all these little things of maybe all the places he doesn't really want to be, all the people he's been with. He has one night stands while he's out and about, and he's getting wisdom from all these people about life. Yeah. And that, you know, 50 is not as bad as it seems. And he turns 50 while he's gone. And it's just kind of a year in review of your own life to come back home. And then compare that to being home at the end. So that's the book. I liked it. I gave it 3 stars. So I didn't love it. I think it was a little confusing because everywhere I went, there were all these new characters and characters that he had known before that, you know, it's just kind of all over the place. He had a lover that actually left his wife for him way back before, when he was much, much younger, and this guy was way older than him. And so he's ailing. He's at like 75 years old, and he's had a stroke. And so there's phone conversations with him back home, and he really did always love him, and is concerned about him with the stroke, and this, he's going to die. And so they talk over FaceTime. And anyway, it's just all these little aspects of life kind of come together in 1 year, how it all weaves together and makes you who you are now. And then you choosing how am I going to live? How am I choose to live my life from here out?
Right.
50 is not a death sentence. I have a lot of good years left. What do I want to do? What makes me happy? And how am I going to do this? So
it was good.
3 stars good. And just kind of an unexpected find that I stumbled across it. But it was
less.
Yeah, less. Hmm. By Andrew Sean Greer.
Okay.
There you go.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe do one more each.
One more each. Sounds good.
I'll end with The Good Father by Diane Chamberlain.
Okay.
Have you read that one?
I don't know. Doesn't sound familiar. Diane Chamberlain. I've read something from her before, though.
Yes.
I think I talked about it on here.
Probably. She's great. I love her books. Let me find out what...
Okay.
She's great. So, The Good Father, just to give a little background, is about this guy who, when he was a teenager, he had a girlfriend, and theirs was also all this unforbidden, or this forbidden love. The father didn't approve of him. The daughter had a heart condition, mm-hmm. and the dad felt like this boy was causing her to have, like, really, her heart was beating too fast, and it would stress her out, and it would stress her heart out,
okay, the excitement of it. Okay, so it was affecting her health.
Yes, and so he didn't want him to be around. Also, this kid comes from nothing. Like, he doesn't have a whole lot, and he has this bright future in mind for his daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the daughter loves him, and so they sneak around, and she gets pregnant. Okay. But before she realizes that she's pregnant, she has an episode with her heart, ends up in the hospital. This father blames the boyfriend and basically scares him to death that he about killed her.
It was his fault.
Yes. And so he tells him he has to go away and whatever. And he feels so devastated that the boyfriend feels so devastated that he really does stay away because the last thing he would ever want is for her to be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And she's comes out of it feeling, you know, wishing that she could talk to him and whatever, and tries to communicate with him, and nothing seems to work out. Well, finds out that she's pregnant and gets very, very sick because her heart can't handle the mm-hmm. pregnancy, and they want her to abort the pregnancy, but she refuses to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, gets sicker and sicker. So by the end of the pregnancy, she thinks she's going to die. And so just feels like she made the worst decision because now she's going to die and this boy won't even write back to her.
He still hasn't even contacted her.
She's tried to let him know, and she feels like he's just totally abandoned her, and now she's going to die because of this baby that she chose to keep. So she's just like beside herself, decides that she's going to put the baby up for adoption because she is so sick. And so she does that, and she signs all the papers and picks the family, whatever, and goes. Well, after she delivers in her delirium, because she's, again, so ill, a nurse asks her who the father is as she's helping her fill out the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, because the dad told her, you can't say who the father was, whatever. You need to just keep that quiet. But she does.
But she does.
And so before they put up for adoption, they have to get the father's approval. And he had no idea that she was pregnant the whole time, because the father interrupted all their communications.
Yes.
So he finds out for the first time that he has a daughter, like after the daughter is born, and refuses to put her up for adoption and wants to be the dad. And so the father takes him to court and tries so hard to, you know, make that not possible. But mm-hmm. of course he is the father, and he wins, and he gets this girl. So the girl's dad makes him sign a contract saying that he will never contact his daughter because she's going to die if he ever, you know, it stresses her out and it's too much, and makes her promise. So he does that. He's like, I don't care anymore. I love her, but I want to be a dad more than anything. And so he goes and takes care of his daughter and never communicates. So their life goes on. 4 years pass.
So sad.
Her dad dies from pneumonia. Right. So she has no idea. She doesn't even know that he has the daughter. She thinks that the daughter was adopted
out by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, so many secrets.
I know, crazy. Anyway, so you watch, and this guy was a 17-year-old father now trying to take care. So he doesn't finish school. He just does construction mm-hmm. work. His mother babysits, but she has her own health problems. The guy can't catch a break, and his mom dies with his 4-year-old daughter. Of course, they end up losing everything because I won't even go into I don't want to spoil everything, but he loses everything, and he now is trying to figure out how he's going to make ends meet with this daughter because he can't afford daycare, and it's the recession, and there's no jobs, and what's he going to do?
Right.
So he ends up, in a real roundabout way, getting caught up in this drug deal where he'd be the driver one night, but he'd make quick money, and it would be just one time, and mm-hmm. he could get him set up to a place where he could take care of his daughter.
Have they made this into a movie?
I don't know.
This sounds familiar.
Is it? It might be.
Okay.
I don't know. But it is really interesting because you watch him try to take care of his daughter and your heart just breaks because there seems to be no options.
There's no options.
If he tells anyone his situation, he loses her.
Right.
And he doesn't, his last thing in the world he ever wants would be to lose her. And so he ends up meeting this woman who is... You kind of get to know her story a little bit at the beginning. She loses her daughter in some sort of tragic accident that you don't really understand, but she's mm-hmm. passed away, same age as this guy's daughter. And he meets her in a coffee shop, and every morning, because they don't have a house, they're living in the car, they go to the same coffee shop. They see her there because she's in mourning, and she goes to this coffee shop, and she just is all she can do to get through the day. And then she sees this little girl, and something strikes on her heartstrings, and she just is enamored with this girl. So mm-hmm. they go and they talk to her every morning, and she reads her a book and whatever. So he decides that because there's no one else he can trust to leave his daughter to go do this overnight run. Mm-hmm. He just leaves her with this woman
that he doesn't even know.
He doesn't even know. And he doesn't tell her. He just puts a note in the daughter's pocket and says, "Oh, I forgot something in my car. Stay right here. I'll be right back." And then never comes back.
And then, oh.
So she finds the note a couple hours later when she takes the girl to the bathroom. And it says, "You know, I'm so sorry. I'll see you here tomorrow." Because they saw her every day.
Every day. Okay.
So she's like, "What the heck? Oh, I have to call the police." But then she's like, "No, I'm going to let him have it when he comes back. But I'll take care of the girl. He shouldn't lose his girl over one bad decision." Anyway, it's so interesting that he doesn't come back the next day. And so it's so interesting. And in the meantime, you watch her dealing with this, him dealing with this, realizing he didn't think it was a drug deal at first, realizes it's a drug deal. All these things are happening. Then you see the mother of the daughter, this little girl. Her life is moving on. She ends up getting a heart transplant. Things are happening for her, and her life is progressing, but she can't let go of this memory of this little girl. And it's very interesting. So then as all the storms are colliding, you know, it's mm-hmm. how they end up, you know, running into each other, it all kind of comes together at the end, and how it all kind of collides and falls apart and everything. It was good.
Wow.
So I love Diane Chamberlain so I'm comparing a lot of her books. I gave it 3 stars, definitely worth a read.
Okay.
But I liked some of her other books better.
Yeah. I was just looking, The Lies We Told.
Yes.
And, there was another one there that I had read. The Lies We Told, and I don't remember what it was now, but I've read a couple of hers. She has a lot of books.
She has.
But that sounds like a good one.
It was a good one. I think that's why I did it. Like Necessary Lies.
Necessary Lies.
And that one was so good. The Silent Sister. She's written Big Lies in a Small Town. Anyway, mm-hmm. she's written quite a few. And one of my favorite books that she's written is The Dream Daughter.
I haven't read that one.
One of my favorite books.
Okay.
It's really good. Anyway, so I am comparing, but just on its own, it's a great book.
It's a great book.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know you've read this book, The Good Neighborhood.
The Good Neighborhood. What did you think?
By Therese. I don't know if it's Therese or Teresa. There's an E at the end. Therese Ann Fowler. A Good Neighborhood. I gave it 3 stars.
Okay.
And there is a huge part of it that I just want to say, yuck.
Yep.
Yuck.
I already know.
Yuck.
It's...
What did you...
I gave it 3 stars.
You gave it 3 stars. So we agree on something. So the premise of the story is this, a black mom and her... She's not. Is she black or is it her husband that was black?
She's black.
No, I don't remember. And her husband is black. Her husband was white. Her husband died when their son was really young. And so the son is mixed race. He's half black, half white. And her and her husband had bought this house in this neighborhood before he passed away. And then he very unexpectedly passed away and was out. So she's raised her son her whole life, you know, his whole life almost, as a single parent. And she teaches at a university, is a professor.
Yes.
At a university, and is very into plants. Mm-hmm. Is that botany?
Yes.
Very into plants and trees, and they have this 100-year-old tree in their yard that she, you know, her yard is, she just knows everything about every little plant and what it needs and what kind of nourishment and shade and not shade it needs. And it's not a well-to-do neighborhood, but it's a good neighborhood. It's, you know, older homes, smaller homes, but a good neighborhood.
And they're starting to be kind of updated, yes, right? It's kind of, it was an older neighborhood, now that it's turning over into, yes.
Yes. So it is, and turning over meaning smaller houses plowed down and these big mansions built on the property. So it's that in between, which reminds me a lot of my old neighborhood when I was in, like, I was kind of the, between Sugar House and Mill Creek area, more than Mill Creek area. And so the homes are expensive because of the area.
Yeah.
But they're small. And if you have lots of money, you could easily buy one and tear it down and build these huge mansions. So I could kind of just vision this neighborhood with these big trees and
totally
lots of shade. Anyway, so their next door neighbor sold to someone who came in to do that. So they tear down this house. They build this huge over the top home and they're new money. He's into HVACs and he has these commercials. I can just imagine these cheesy commercials he does, but everyone knows who he is because of all these commercials and his HVAC heating and air conditioning company. And so they're new into money and they build just over the top house and they put a pool in the backyard and they're putting a fence in and all this construction and not caring about the trees and vegetation. They've ripped out trees and it's just breaking this woman's heart of all these old trees that were there before that are gone now. And the construction has done damage to her big hundreds of year old oak tree that she loves so much. And she's watching it die. So she's not thrilled they're there.
No. She feels like there's been like a lack of empathy and
yes,
love for this beautiful landscape.
Right.
They're just totally tearing it all down. Yeah.
And she feels it's even like the real estate company and the construction company came in, didn't even think about that or take it into consideration, and that there should be some kind of a rule in place that says they have to, when you've got trees this old, that you have to do such things to protect them.
Yeah.
And that they've been just totally disrespectful in that case. So she's upset with them. And the people that are building this house, it's a mixed family on the part of the mom had a daughter out of wedlock, and then she met this guy. They got married, and then they have another daughter. So there's two daughters, but only one is both of theirs. So this oldest daughter has the stepfather, the HVAC guy. And they're very, very tight control of these girls. Like the oldest daughter takes a virginity pledge that she'll keep her virginity until she's married, and it's this whole big,
it's weird
ceremony that's super super weird.
Like you're basically your dad's, like, yeah, you belong to your dad.
Your dad is, yes,
until
the
you
ceremony is with the daughter and the dad,
like they're almost weird. Married.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's really weird. And when I say yuck,
that's weird.
It's yuck.
It is yuck.
Anyway, so she's not allowed to do very much.
And she actually, like, really... loves to have a father figure, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, she's happy with all of it. And they've got this great life. But she wants to be able to go out with her friends and have a little bit more of a maybe normal kid life. And so she's outside at the pool. And the next door neighbor's son, who is just graduating from high school, he's a super good student, has a scholarship to the college of the university of his choice.
Juilliard.
I thought it was something. He's a musician. I thought it was in California.
Maybe you're right.
But I don't remember exactly what it was.
For music, though.
But for music, he's a classic guitarist and just a straight A, straight kid.
Yeah.
And they meet when she's sitting out by the pool and they become friends and kind of start this secret relationship because his mom hates the neighbors. And so he kind of keeps it from her, and her parents don't like them either. But they also don't like her to be out with anyone.
Yeah, they don't want her to have a boyfriend at all.
Have a boyfriend at all, yeah. Because she's taken this pledge. And so we're not even going to be around boys because we have a pledge and we're going to keep ourselves clean and pure and all this. And there's secrets going on everywhere. And whenever there's secrets, stuff's gonna hit the fan.
Oh my gosh.
And it does. And it's
the dad, let me just say, there's just not as icky of a character than the HVAC stepdad.
Right.
And I think there was even a point in this story where I started fast forwarding. Because I'm listening to it.
It's
because I'm like, you're kidding me. You are kidding me.
And even like I'm reading it and I knew you had read it and I wanted to text you. Just yuck.
Oh my gosh.
Just yuck. Yuck.
It's so bad. And yuck. You know what else? It's devastating. How one person who is really self-centered can cause so much pain and damage.
Yes. Yes.
That was the takeaway for me from this book was that I don't know how you could have stopped it.
Mm-mm.
But how quickly everyone took his side because of his stand in the society, in the neighborhood, right? Like, yeah. Everyone knew him because of his commercials.
And his stand-up work ethic and, yeah, but he has connections everywhere. And I
just feel like, let's do the right thing, people. And nobody did.
Nobody did. Nobody did. And so, I think it has a really good point on when you're a black person in America.
Yeah.
And he even says, but I'm half white, but that doesn't matter. I will always be black. I am the black person in the neighborhood. But I took this quote from it that I think is very timely right now with what's going on. A quote from the book that says, "A big surprise that was no surprise at all. If you are a black person in the United States, you live each day with the knowledge that this scene or one very much like it may be in your future. You needn't have done anything illegal or have broken any rule." And so it didn't matter if he had done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything wrong, but he was black and then it became the worst crime ever. Yeah. And it's
so sad.
So sad.
Like I said, I couldn't even listen. It was that upsetting and like stomach turning to me. Like I could barely listen. I'm just like jumping ahead. Yeah. And I cannot think of another book that I've done that.
Yeah. And I don't think I've read another book that has a character like that. That I don't know. It just, there was.
It's like you just hope and pray that you never know anyone like him.
Yeah. Right. And, but they're there.
I know.
Obviously. Look at our country right now. They're out there and it's just.
So sad.
It's sad.
It's so sad.
So, but I think the characters were well written. I love this young man.
Yeah, me too.
And his goals in life. Mm-hmm. And this poor girl just, you know, almost brainwashed to a sense by this purity
Like, what was the mom thinking? I kept coming around to that, going like, you are not helping. Like, take a step back. I know that you don't want to go back to your poor days.
Right, because before she was, they were very poor, and she was on her own and working. And.
But come on.
But yeah,
like, she's. This isn't right. It's not right. You have to know that. Like, anyway, it's interesting how that all played out.
It was a very interesting book. Definite aspects of yuck and weird and sadness. Sad how it worked out for all of them to have ever been able to come back from just one neighbor that moves in and upturns everything down to the trees and plants. Just everything.
Everything.
So I gave it 3 stars.
I gave it 3 stars because it was so yuck.
Yeah.
And sad.
And sad. And I would say, I mean, just because it's sad and yucky, that doesn't deter me from reading something. I think we can always learn something from a book, or it opens our eyes to something else. But it did have kind of a weird, the way it was written, the point of view, I got confused. Like, it kind of, like the narrator in it. There's a narrator. That
The neighbors. Well, the neighbors chime in, like gossip, kind of, you know, like how we have neighborhood gossip and everyone's talking. And then there's like these underlying things that everyone just knows about your neighbors.
Right.
That someone would tell you.
Yeah.
And that was
kind
of weird.
And I should tell you here that blah, 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 blah. And so just the way it was written, the style wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
So
it was kind of different.
I think the characters were well formed. The story was, you know, telling, sad. I think very realistic, could be very realistic.
Yeah.
But I just didn't like the style that it was written in.
Yeah, I agree.
But I gave it 3 stars.
3 stars for me, too.
There you go. I think that's... Is that all?
I think we've hit our limit.
We've hit our limit.
Dang it. We could talk books all day.
I have another one, but I think we'll save it for next time. Yep.
That's good. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Next week is our question and answer. So send any questions or that you might want answers to from us.
Yes. We love your questions and answers. They're always so interesting. So send more.
Yeah. You can send them. You can either comment on our Instagram or Facebook page and we'll read them, or you can send them to our email, which is thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. So we'll look for them. We've got some left from last time, but we need more.
Always.
So, yeah, we'd love to hear more. We'd love to hear. We've got some new listeners. So thank you for joining and let us know what you want to know
about anything. Anything is welcome.
Yeah. We will take it. So.
And also, same with outside of question answers. Send, what are you thinking of our podcast? We'd love to know your thoughts. Make sure that you find us on Apple Podcasts and rate and subscribe.
That's please subscribe.
Super important rate. So that everyone else can find us out there.
And review.
Please.
We're begging a little bit.
Well,
I'm not too humble to beg, but we really, that's how other people find our podcast. That's how our podcast grows. And we're having a lot of fun with it and want to keep it going. So
absolutely. And we have like a fun thing coming up in a few weeks. So keep listening as an incentive to rate and subscribe. So get that done and you'll be excited about it.
And then,
Special thanks to Amphibious Zoo for the awesome music.
We love it. Such fun music.
I know. Don't you love it?
They're awesome. They were awesome to work with. So thank you.
Yeah. And thanks for listening. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
And
this is your book club. Bye.